Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Big union win for government employees, changes at the post office, and it's not good for workers. And today on the show, the latest from the Communication Workers of America and the local building trades. Good afternoon and welcome to the Tuesday, August 11th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, as well as Spotify online at awfradio.com. Two guests on the show today. One of our sponsors, the Communication Workers of America, CWA-union.org is their website. Frank Matthews, who is the administrator of District 4, covering five states in the Midwest. We're going to talk about the HEROES Act. And I'll tell you, go to just about any union website. And today, obviously, we're going to talk with the communication workers, and everybody is ramping up their efforts to try to get Congress, mainly the Senate, to work with the Democrats and get some relief for the millions, I mean millions, of people that are jobless right now. And we're hearing horror stories out there of so many jobs that just are not going to come back. Let me just give you an example of what District 1 of the CWA did. They held a virtual phone bank to make phone calls to senators urging them to support the HEROES Act and provide relief to state and local government, premium pay for essential workers, paid leave, strengthening OSHA protections. Right now, OSHA has been stripped of just about everything. And funding for safe voting. And I have a lot to say about voting here coming up for the 2020 elections. Again, this is a piece of legislation passed in the House in the middle of May, stalled in the Senate. The Democrats' plan is over $3 trillion. The Republicans at first said, we're not going to do anything. Now they came up with $1 trillion and that's it. The Democrats have said, okay, we'll whittle it down to $2 trillion. But right now, the Republicans have not budged on that $1 trillion. As you probably know by now, President Trump over the weekend signed several executive orders pretty much saying that, you know what, I'm going to do this on my own. And there's more components to that, which I'm going to get to in a minute. But the bottom line is we have a good piece of legislation that's going to help a whole lot of people. Frank's going to talk about what the CWA is doing. You're also going to get into mail. And there's a great story I saw on their website last night about a big win. Writers for Lovestruck, which is a mobile game produced by Voltage Entertainment USA, returned to work after a groundbreaking strike that ended last week after Voltage Management agreed to pay an average 78% increase in wages. Let me repeat that. A 78% wage hike. I don't know what they were paying, but hey, you know what? This is something to talk about and boast about. The strike was the first successful game worker strike in the history of the game development industry. The story is that workers approach Code-CWA. This is an organization that the CWA set up to help improve working conditions for those in the in that industry. I'm sure Frank will have something to say about that. That is great news, certainly great news. Dave Wondolowski, on behalf of the Cleveland Building and Construction Trades Council, will be joining us later in the show. Two things we're going to get into. He first wants to do a salute to all the workers, construction workers, that are showing up for work, getting their temperatures taken, and working through this pandemic. And you know how serious this is. You know how many people have died and how many people, boy, I tell you, it seems to be a runaway freight train right now in so many states, including the Midwest and the entire southern portion of the United States. So he's going to talk about the workers and what they've been doing to protect themselves because of a lack of protections by our federal government. The other story is it's really sad. Apparently, there was a project at the Metro Health Medical Center, which had to be shut down. Why? Because of offensive graffiti. I saw a report on this over the weekend. I totally didn't comprehend what was going on, why there was graffiti, what it said. I'm not going to get into all that detail, but bottom line is, you got a project here that obviously is an improvement, and we need, especially right now, to improve our health care foundation in America, and Metro Health is a good part of that. It's a public hospital. And this project is shut down because somebody decided to scribble whatever on the building. The building's under construction. So Dave Wondolowski is going to talk about that and more right here on America's Workforce. Well, 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 talk about wins. We got a huge one here on behalf of the American Federation of Government Employees, one of the many sponsors of this show. For more than a year, the Trump administration has been attempting to impose one-sided anti-union contracts on various federal agencies, including the VA and the Department of Education. We've talked about this on the show many, many times. Well, in July of last year, 2019, one of the contracts was imposed on the 7,500 AFGE members of the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency. Well, instead of sitting back and allowing Trump to impose these anti-worker clauses into their contract, the union filed an unfair labor practice complaint with the Federal Labor Relations Authority. After a hearing, the FLRA ruled that Trump had indeed violated labor law, and they threw out the one-sided contract. Now, a year later, AFGE and the EPA have finally agreed on a new contract, which provides a major win for the union. How about that? Some more details here. During the talks, the union identified 13 articles that they needed to hold firm on. By caving in on these demands, the union would have been making major concessions to Trump. With the new contract, the union announced they had won all 13 articles, every one of them, including offering more rights for employees, requiring the EPA to promote and provide an alcohol and drug-free workplace, and setting new health and safety requirements for the EPA. The agreement also includes more flexible work schedules and allows for up to 2 days of telework for employees. Got a comment here from Everett Kelly. Everett is the president, the national president of AFGE. He said, "We are very happy to have this contract completed. I am extremely thankful for the hard work of AFGE members and our allies in Congress who helped put pressure on the EPA to do the right thing. This success was, in fact, a group effort, and all involved, everybody, should be proud." Hats off there. I'm sure next segment we have with the American Federation of Government Employees, we'll talk more about that struggle. Boy, you take a win like that, especially in this anti-union environment. I want to talk a little bit more about what's going on with these unemployment benefits. As I indicated, President Trump is using his executive authority to at least get some money to people whose jobless benefits ran out. Not the $600 a week. It's, as we reported yesterday, 400, and then I guess 100 of that comes from the states. Now, not all the states can afford that kind of thing. But the Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, said at least 300 is going to happen in a couple of weeks. In the meantime, Congress is going to talk about this. The House, but there's no meeting scheduled, but bottom line is the House has to get together with the Senate. In the meantime, Democratic leaders have criticized the current benefit as insufficient. Republicans say it's too generous. In the meantime, enter the payroll tax deferral. That was another executive order That would be in effect between September 1 and the end of the year. Workers would be required to make up the deferred payments after that time. So you're really not getting a break, okay? It's got to be paid. However, Trump has suggested he might extend the deferral and terminate the tax if he is reelected. Joe Biden has jumped into this debate right now, said this is Trump's roadmap to cutting Social Security. And he's absolutely right, because that payroll tax is a big component for funding Social Security. Trump is also contemplating executive action to curb voting by mail. This is according to Politico. A number of conservative groups have challenged state vote-by-mail procedures in many courts, claiming there's fraud, which is pretty much non-existent. Trump's opposition to voting by mail is part of a larger confrontation between the administration and the U.S. Postal Service. He has a strong ally that he put in charge of the Postal Service right now. It's one of his top fundraisers, Louis DeJoy. Let me give you a little background on what's happening here. DeJoy announced a major reorganization of the Postal Service on Friday, according to the Washington Post. The reorganization centralizes power around DeJoy and replaces the top two executives in charge of day-to-day operations. The plan also includes a hiring freeze and a reduced number of units and postal regions. He's also eliminated all overtime. So if you're wondering why your mail has been slow lately, that's the reason why. This plan has already been implemented, and it's only going to get worse, according to various reports. And you know where the Postal Service is on financial ground. If they don't get an influx of money by the end of September, we'll have a post office that's not funded. And then we have an election, what, 5-6 weeks later? This is serious stuff. This is serious stuff. Now, it's my understanding that there is a $10 billion loan agreement. I don't know if that's been totally approved yet. That may give the post office some extra time, but devil's always in the details on that. So anyway, that's what's going on with the post office. And the sad part about this, you have to know that 25% of the workers in the post office are veterans, many of them people of color. This is a direct attack. And it's not like they're making a whole lot of money either. It's really sad what's going on. And I guess I wish the Democrats would speak up more about this. But right now we have to take a break. You know unions are. We'll talk about it next with Frank Matthews and more right here on America's Workforce. Don't go away.
This is America's Workforce.
LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, is the most progressive, aggressive, and fastest growing union of construction workers, and one of the most diverse and effective unions representing public service employees. LIUNA members are on the forefront of the construction industry, a sector that is a powerhouse of 12 million workers producing 5% of our country's economic output, a 500,000 strong. We're united through collective bargaining agreements which help us earn family-supporting pay, good benefits, and the opportunity for advancement and better lives. With Mobile Action LIUNA, you can get updates on your cell phone, find out how to sign petitions, and download union ringtones. Be a part of your union's political and organizing efforts by sending a text message on your cell phone with the word LIUNA to the number 69866. Through the LIUNA Action Network, you can stay informed about your union with a one-minute update and action alerts.
You're listening to America's Workforce, and this next segment brought to you by the North Coast Labor Federation.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And welcome back to America's Workforce. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify. We ask that you please subscribe to our podcast system and give us a rating. 5 stars would be greatly appreciated. Before we get to Frank Matthews, just want to do a salute to the union workers, contractors, utility providers in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. As you know, we had the hurricane last week that made its way up from the Caribbean over to the East Coast. They had wind speeds up to 80 miles per hour. Well, I want to tell you, the unions responded so quickly and so efficiently. For instance, we have local union number 3 of the electrical workers. They responded in all parts of New York and New Jersey. Removal took place over 48 hours following the storm. They had a lot of debris, and linemen and electricians were working day and night. And also we have the utility workers. This is locals 1 and 2, and they are affiliated with Con Edison and the tree trimmers, along with the Communication Workers of America, because a lot of the, obviously, the communication lines, the phone lines and all, were down. So, once again, a salute to the people on the front lines of America, making America work and work efficiently. You can't thank them enough. All right, let's go to our live line. Speaking of the communication workers, Frank Matthews of District 4 joining us. Mr. Matthews, welcome back to the show, and how are we doing in the midst of this crazy new normal that we're living in because of the pandemic?
Good afternoon, Flex. Sometimes I feel like Groundhog Day, the movie Groundhog Day. You just, when are we going to wake up from it? You know, I mean, it's a struggle, and it's the new normal, and I just wonder 20 years from now what the folks that are, especially the youngsters that are going through this, will remember, or let's hope it's behind us. But you know, I was one of those kids from the energy crisis, and we did split sessions and had classes at malls, and schools were closed, and so we were kind of defined by that. I think this generation may be something they all have in common, you know, forever, because I still run into high school kids today that say, remember in 78 when we actually had to go to the school over at the mall or take classes 2 days a week because of the energy crunch? And you try to explain that to kids today, and they have no concept. But
no.
Maybe that'll be the same thing 20 years from now when these kids are trying to I remember when to people.
Well, there's an old line, especially in public relations, is not necessarily the news, it's how you react to the news. And the reaction to this pandemic is atrocious. It really is. I mean, we're seeing from the get-go how this has been ignored by the administration. Oh, it'll just go away. And then the burden on the states. I feel bad for the states. I mean, they have to do everything, even when it comes to worker safety, because we've been getting story after story,
right,
about how they pretty much neutered OSHA. I mean, what do we have OSHA for today? It's amazing.
Clear down to the CDC. And, you know, I mean, you read these stories from every other civilized country around the world that had organized plans, a nationwide plan, a plan of action. And you know, we read that some of those countries are virtually zero reports now. And it is on that way down. And we just seem to be climbing. And it was it's just that incessant need or want to deny that we had a problem, or, you know, all is well, this thing's going to go away. How many times do we have to hear that out of the president, that we're just going to wake up one day and it's miraculously going to be gone? Well,
yeah.
You know what? It's not. And I'm just afraid our elderly and our poor and the folks that, you know, safety net is already fragile. They're the unfortunate ones here, and you know, there's just no realization of that or recognition of that from the top, that of any obligation to help or take care of citizens, and it's very scary.
Frank, there's a lot of things going on that we need to talk about, and they're scary things, too. I'm real concerned about what Trump did over the weekend regarding the payroll tax, which funds Social Security. And unfortunately, there's so many people, union brothers and sisters are pretty aware, they're very well educated on this issue, that the payroll tax funds Social Security. And Trump is now saying if he gets reelected, he's going to eliminate that for good, permanently. Then the post office, I know you want to get into that as well. I mean, there's so much going on right now, and it's not good. It's not good. But let's get into the heroes, Zach, because as you know, the Republicans are just sticking to that $1 trillion plan. The Democrats have the plan. It's so funny, too, because when the Democrats passed that back in May 15th, the first thing out of Mitch McConnell, you and I talked about this. The first thing he said, dead on arrival. Dead on arrival. Yeah. It's almost like they figured by the end of July, which is come and gone, that everything was going to go away and nobody's going to need any more help. Well, I'm sorry, that's not the case. So,
unfortunately, it's climbing.
Yeah, and the CWA is among the unions very vigilant on this. Well, maybe you can kind of tell us what your union has been doing to get the word out on this.
Yeah, thanks. We've really flooded D.C. and the senator's office with calls and letters and thousands upon letters and thousands of calls, tens of thousands of calls that, to, hey, you need to pass this HEROES Act. There's so many helpful things in the HEROES Act that piggybacks on a lot of the help that was afforded to people already that, quite honestly, if the Friends of Working Families, hadn't passed the CARES Act and the act that was passed earlier to support workers and to help with states and personal protective equipment and to the help of the states, we would really be in a bad situation now. Well, the HEROES Act, as you said, was passed two and a half months ago, and we've just been sitting here waiting on the Senate, McConnell's do-nothing Senate, it seems, to even recognize that they needed to do something. And the bottom line is the House passes the HEROES Act. The Senate comes back, and of course, everybody has to have their own thing. They want people to support this thing called the HEALS Act. Now, the big difference is the HEROES Act, it'll be an additional stimulus payment for, Americans, currently set at those making under $99,000 per year. It has some eviction protections. Because I think the numbers are staggering that I recently saw that within the next 2 months, how many people in this country are actually going to be out on the street because their jobs are gone. The benefits from the states and the burden on the states is unbelievable. And, it's almost depression era, visions again. There's student loan forgiveness. There's money for more coronavirus testing. There's money to boost up unemployment benefits until January of 2021. Farming subsidies in the HEROES Act. And here's one that I'm sure the President Trump and his folks really don't like. There's election funding here to almost $3.6 billion to provide secure funding for the upcoming presidential, because there was a vision here and knew we would have a problem, let alone the manufactured problems that's going on right now with the Postal Service or perceived manufacturing problems. In a pandemic, the House knew there would be issues. And then there's an additional $25 billion to support the United States Postal Service, because in a pandemic situation, they are going to, they're going to be more important than ever. And it's not just about elections. I mean, there are people in this country that depend on getting their drugs a couple times a week through the Postal Service. That's what, is really boggling to me over the whole letting the postal system kind of sabotage from within that we're seeing from this administration, is that, You know what? Yeah, we know why they're trying to do it, but in the bigger picture, how many Americans depend on that postal service to survive with their prescription drugs, with their checks and the like? And just to let that go over a November election or a perceived distrust of allowing, if you will, every American to vote by mail if they want, is very sad. And so they come up with this HEALS Act, and it's, thank God, it's kind of dying as we speak, and it is basically pretty close to collapsing. Not only doesn't it include any new federal relief funds for state or local governments, it also provides funding. Now, this is a relief bill, mind you, that is supposed to help Americans. It's supposed to help state and local governments, and it's supposed to shore up our system to get us through the pandemic. But miraculously, the Republicans have put in a little bit of pork there that would provide money to expand the FBI headquarters. Now, what is that doing in a pandemic relief act? And then finally, the one thing, you know, where would the current Mitch McConnell be if he wasn't thinking about protecting his CEO buddies at the end of the day? Part of the HEALS Act also includes a 5-year liability shield to protect businesses from lawsuits brought on by workers and employees related to the coronavirus. So, you know, not only are they worried about expanding the FBI headquarters in their bill, they're worried about if a business did treat an employee or do something wrong with their employees during this pandemic, protecting them for 5 years and limiting a average person's ability to go back and make things right with that business. Not that they're going to, but I mean, it shows where priorities are. Priorities aren't on helping Americans just get through this year. And so, we are asking folks, and we're continuing with our calls on D.C. We've got an 877 number. We're asking people to call their, you know, they'll be trunked automatically into their senator, and just urge them to pass the HEROES Act. You know, in Ohio, Senator Portman, I know he's been inundated, and, you know, it may be asking too much for Senator Rob to ever break away from this administration and do anything on behalf of us. But let's just hope that Portman will actually put Americans first and put party second in this case, because if this HEROES Act isn't passed, you know, this country could be, and we're talking Great Depression problems, you know, is not unreasonable to think, you know.
Yeah, 1930s all over again. I have that toll-free number. I'm looking at your website. It's 877-775-9294, and that's on behalf of the Communication Workers of America. A number of unions have phone numbers to call in. AFL-CIO, we've been promoting theirs as well. But the CWA's is 877-775-9294. Call your senators. Tell them, come on, get this done. And like you said, put Americans first, okay? Put Americans first, all right? They didn't ask for this. They need help. All right. We have to take a quick break. We'll get into the post office. There's a lot of interesting information happening there, and it's not very good. It's all part of America's workforce. Also, later in the show, Dave Wondolowski, on behalf of the building trades, will be joining us talking about how workers are faring in this pandemic. It's all part of America's workforce. Back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to AFLCIO.org.
America's Workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
And welcome back to America's Workforce. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, online at awfradio.com. Our Twitter handle is at @AWFUnionPodcast. You can follow us there. Let's go back to our live line and rejoin Frank Matthews. Frank is with District 4 of the Communication Workers of America, CWA-Union.org, for complete updates. Hey, I got to talk about this huge win for the gamers. This is an industry that needs a whole lot of union protections. We're talking about the writers for Lovestruck. This is a mobile game produced by Voltage Entertainment USA. Apparently, they went on strike, and they settled getting a... I still can't believe I'm reading this. A 78% wage increase? Frank, now, what were they making, like 20 cents an hour or something? What's the deal here?
It makes you wonder. And the biggest thing, and when a few of them were interviewed, was not so much the money, but that's important because we all have to raise families and put kids in college, but is the increased transparency at work. And, you know, it is an industry. This was really the first successful game worker strike in the history of the game development industry. You hit the nail on the head. It leads you to wonder just how much money and how much production and profit that these employees are responsible for. You know, that's always been the key to and the key to labor and the key to why people want to be part of a union is that if you are a reason or your productivity is a reason a company is successful and making a lot of money, we're not saying, you know, you're due the whole pie, but workers should get their share of the pie. And as productivity rises and profits rise, you know, that's actually the key to America. And what happened from the 30s on until actually about the 1970s when the Chambers of Commerce stepped in and said, you know, we want to limit unions and we want productivity to go up, but wages to stay a little stagnant. But it's incredible. The community support during this for those folks was incredible. They actually had over 4,000 fans of the online game signed a petition to demand that, you know, and these gamer folks are very loyal. They're very dedicated to their games, and 4,000 of their biggest fans signed this petition to demand that Voltage provide fair pay to the game writers. Fans raised thousands of dollars on behalf of the folk, the workers that were striking. So it just shows the community support out there when groups do this. And to kind of piggyback on a lot of our topic today and the last few months is we have received more calls, and I don't think we're in a vacuum. I think most labor unions are this way, but since this pandemic started, I think you will see across every industry that those businesses that have been or that are represented by labor and are organized, not in every case, but in most cases, the pandemic has been more organized. The employees have been more respected, and it's been a better situation because the employees had a voice at work, and it wasn't just during this pandemic. The company basically ordering from the mountaintop on what was done. There's been a two-way street, a give and take, and we have actually received probably more requests to organize than ever by workers that have seen similar companies in their industry that are unionized, and they're seeing their employers doing some things that aren't necessarily employer-friendly and saying, wait a second, we're in the same industry as this company, yet their employees are still working. Yet their employer respected the rules of the CARES Act and kept 75% of their employees. Yet their employers haven't do this. And the answer is quite simple. Unless you have a contract, unless you have that worker management contract and respect, one can only expect that. I mean, it's just the nature of business. But so it's very, I'm glad you brought that up, because this was a very fun story. I mean, for the fact that it was, you know, the first in the industry. But it just goes to show that people really, really are out there wanting a voice in the workplace. And most workers are tired of being taken for granted, being treated like second-class citizens, and they just want a union for a voice in the workplace. It, you know, the 78% is incredible. Like we said, it does show just how much profit this company was probably making that they would have never shared with their employees had this not happened. But the respect and the this industry will now be changed forever. And I guarantee you that because of Voltage Entertainment USA and these writers for Lovestruck, that when a job application goes out at that company, they're going to get inundated with the best of the best, because these folks are going to want to work where they have a voice to workplace and have some protections and actually have a chance to have a job where they could, you know, raise a family and put a kid through college and not be in debt the rest of their life. So it's a very good story. Thanks for bringing it up. It actually makes my morning to even talk about it.
It's not just a good story. It's a great story. Absolutely great story there. All right. Let's get into the reality of what's going on in the Postal Service right now. I guess Trump has put one of his guys in charge as Postmaster General, and sounds like the typical CEO. He's getting rid of some people. He's cut overtime. What are you hearing? What's the buzz that you're getting on your side of the fence?
You know, I'm just and you know, we've been here for the postal workers, and we need the Postal Service is an institution in our country that we need to save. You know, you'll hear a lot of the folks in D.C. now that want to see the Postal Service fail, and you'll hear them using words like they don't make money. You know, they're but I ask you, when's the last time your local police department or fire department made money? When's the last time your street department that fixed our roads made money? That is essentially to the core of what's wrong with this country. I mean, you know, we over the years, I don't mind paying taxes because I want good schools. I want good roads. I don't want to grow up with a bunch of people that aren't smart, okay? But there's a mindset in this country that unless a government service makes money, they shouldn't be there. And that's just sad. I mean, we've seen so many instances where, believe it or not, I really think the postal service in this country could be expanded to so much more than they are. Is the reason they aren't making money. You know, we've in a lot of labor, and the postal union itself has been pushing for postal banking. There is a huge percentage of people in this country that do not have a bank account. They don't have enough in the bank at the moment to even open a $50 account or a $100 account at this bank or that bank to even get a checking account. So, you know, there's been proposals over the years for to create postal banking, you know, where you could go in and buy a money order. You could do this, you know, expand the businesses at the post office. I mean, we've got virtually one in every town. I mean, most towns where there's no banks has a post office. I mean, you could do a lot of things if that's truly your concern. But what concerns me a lot with the Postal Service is, you know, I'm hearing that, you know, that the job was given to a big donor to the Trump campaign, a big supporter who had virtually no experience. And actually, I don't know. Totally true, but I've seen reports that actually has an interest in businesses that compete with the post office, so or past. So either way, it's a recipe for disaster, and we need our postal service. As I said earlier, so many people depend on our postal service for drugs, prescription drug delivery weekly, to get their checks. I mean, and the Postal Service is, when it's run right and they run it the way it's supposed to be, there's nobody I trust more. I mean, we mail our taxes. We get our Social Security checks. We get our prescription drugs. We get all this and trust the Postal Service for all this. And yet we're hearing from the other side it's not fit for, you know, for voting and for vote by mail and all that. The bottom line is there's a concern. There is a concern of every American voting in this country, because, I mean, some of the things that have been in D.C. over the last few years are probably does scare them of everybody voting. You know, it's just sad that it's come to that. We are in fact pushing vote by mail with our members. We're encouraging folks to vote early in their states that they have a chance. You know, we just don't know with this pandemic what's going to happen on election day and what the lines are going to be like. We saw some nightmares in Louisville where big cities had one. Using the pandemic as an excuse, they shut the voting locations down to one location in a town and had lines that wrapped around the building. Well, you know, the way to fight that is to have a safe way to vote by mail, and that's our U.S. Postal Service. We've encouraged secretaries of states in all of our states to set up voting boxes to where people can get their ballot, drop them off at a safe, secure location if you want to. We should be doing the vote by mail and increasing ways for folks to vote, not just as a reality during the pandemic, but as a right. You and I have a right to have our vote heard, and it shouldn't be dependent on whether we're willing to spend 4 hours in a line on this date, and or whether our employer will let us off work on this date to vote. You know, it just makes total sense. But get back to the post office. Our postal service, when it's allowed to run the way it has run for decades, is unbeatable. And those employees have more pride and more dedication. And, I mean, you know, I just trust it totally. And for people to be out there saying that, you know, that the vote by mail wouldn't work, and it's the same people that appear right now to be doing things to choke the Postal Service employees' ability to do their job, it just doesn't pass the smell test, you know. And hopefully things get straightened out. There's a way to remedy that, and that's as soon as somebody can early vote, do it, and don't wait till the last minute. And you know, certainly the voting on election day is a good option if you can do it. But I know personally I'm going to request my ballot, and I'm going to vote a month in advance if I can. And that way it's taken care of, and I can help other folks get to the polls on election day, because as we talk every month, this is, you know, and you always say it, this is the most important election ever. I truly believe for the soul of this country that this is the most important election ever, because I don't know where we are in 4 years with another continuation of what's going on now.
All right. I'm with you, brother. All right, CWA-union.org for more information. That toll-free number, too, to get your senators, especially on the conservative side, urge them to help American workers, is 877-775-9294. You hang in there. Be safe. We'll talk to you next month, okay?
Take care, Flash.
All right, quick break. When we come back, Dave Wondolowski on behalf of the building trades. Once again, you are listening to America's Workforce.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, is the most progressive, aggressive, and fastest-growing union of construction workers, and one of the most diverse and effective unions representing public service employees. LIUNA members are on the forefront of the construction industry, a sector that is a powerhouse of 12 million workers producing 5% of our country's economic output. A half million strong. We're united through collective bargaining agreements which help us earn family-supporting pay, good benefits, and the opportunity for advancement and better lives. With Mobile Action LIUNA, you can get updates on your cell phone, find out how to sign petitions, and download union ringtones. Be a part of your union's political and organizing efforts by sending a text message on your cell phone with the word LIUNA to the number 69866. Through the LIUNA Action Network, you can stay informed about your union with a one-minute update and action alerts.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And welcome back to America's Workforce. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, as well as Spotify. Twitter handle AWF Union Podcast. You can follow us there. Let's go to line number two and welcome another one of our sponsors, Dave Wondolowski. Dave is Executive Secretary of the Cleveland Building and Construction Trades Council. Their website is cbctc.org. And we're talking about the trades working hard in the pandemic. And Mr. Wondolowski, welcome back to the show. I guess you want to spend some of the time today just doing a shout out to all your brothers and sisters working hard in this pandemic. I'm going to let you take it from there, my brother.
Yeah, good afternoon, Flash. Yeah, it's been really amazing to see how we've pulled together through this thing. And, you know, we had the topping out ceremony at Metro Health last week, and Dr. Akram Boutros, the head of Metro Health, couldn't say enough about what we've accomplished there on the biggest project in Cleveland, nearly $1 billion of construction work, and we're on time and on budget. And we did that because we, you know, our members were courageous enough to come to work every day during the pandemic and to, you know, obviously work safely with the protocols that are set in place for the pandemic. And it's really been nothing short of amazing what they've done. So I'm really proud of the members that are working on that project, as well as all the other projects that, you know, never stopped and we continued to work on. So, you know, there's a lot of obvious care and thanks to healthcare workers and first responders, but I hope people understand that our construction workers were essential during this pandemic, and they've done a great job of going to work every day and getting the job done.
That's fantastic. Did I hear that correctly? That's a $1 billion project, and you said on time and on budget in the middle of a pandemic, right?
That's correct. That's correct. Yep. We've got about 370 workers on site now, and they're still ramping that number up. So it's going to be it's really going to be great.
Okay. Now, what's this story about? There was a shutdown at Metro Health. This was last Friday due to some offensive graffiti. Can you give us a little more on that? I saw a report on this over the weekend. I didn't fully comprehend it. Maybe you can fill in some details here.
Yeah, you know, as I just mentioned, there's 370 workers on that job, and obviously one or two knuckleheads that maybe got carried away with their markers on the job, and I didn't see the graffiti, but I just know I was on site yesterday morning. I spoke to all the workers, and they understand that that's not acceptable behavior. And you know, in the building trades, we hold ourselves to a higher standard. We're just not your typical construction workers. We're organized construction workers, and we act as such. And you know, 99.9% of the people on that job and every other job understand that. And unfortunately, there's some people that have to understand or need to be reminded that we do hold ourselves to that higher standard. And that was done yesterday. So I fully expect that's not going to be an issue anymore. You know, it's a shame that it got to that, but it was a little blip, and we took care of it yesterday.
Very good. Yeah, people get out of line. You got to straighten them out, and that's exactly what you did. So hats off to you on that. How are you looking on other projects here? I'm hearing all kinds of stories. The supply chain. I read a story recently that there might be a shortage of lumber. Maybe you could fill us in. And I know we could use more in the trades. Maybe you can speak to all of that.
Well, there is a shortage of lumber out there. In fact, I know people that, you know, are just doing deck work on their houses that are having a hard time finding lumber. So it's out there, you know, obviously through this pandemic, people have been staying home. There's more home remodeling taking place, and there's a big uptick in sales at Home Depot and Lowe's and all of the other home improvement stores. So between that and then the shipping debacle, you know, it's been tough to get, especially lumber, but even other materials. So hopefully that's not going to be a problem long term. But I have heard that.
Yeah, yeah. Wondering too about worker safety, and I know unions preach safety, safety, safety. It's across the board, but you know, with the lax enforcement at OSHA. In Washington, I know a number of states have taken it upon their own to go and protect workers. How are we doing locally here, maybe in the state of Ohio? Maybe you can speak to the Midwest here. I know you talked to a lot of their brothers and sisters in other states, but what's your assessment right now of that, Dave?
Well, fortunately, we've never left that up to OSHA, you know, to worry about, you know, coming out to sites and making sure they're safe. I mean, our general contractors, our subcontractors, and our members are all trained at a high level for safety. And it is priority number one on these jobs. So, yeah, I do understand that things have slowed down with OSHA, but, you know, as far as safety with the Cleveland building trades, and I'm sure I could speak for all the building trades across the country, their safety is always a number one priority.
Yeah. What about the apprenticeship programs? How are we doing so far? Are they back to full speed here, or, you know, the virus is picking up in various areas? I'm just wondering your assessment on that.
Yeah, that's a great question. We've got a few. I just found out yesterday we've got a few that are going to be starting remotely, and others are opening. So taking full precautions, cutting class sizes, splitting classes up, making sure that social distancing and cleanliness is important, you know, is a priority. But I know that we are getting back and moving, because we do have to train people, and that really cannot stop.
Yeah, yeah. Across the board. In fact, I was talking to Dave Meganhart at the ULA last week, and he said there's a big demand for, like, bricklayers, painters, and drywall finishers. What's your take on that?
Same. Yeah, well, I couldn't agree more. Dave's right. It's, you know, we do need people, and so our recruiting is not going to stop or slow down because of the pandemic. We have to continue to recruit and bring people in.
All right, good jobs there, no doubt about that. CBCTC.org, and the Twitter handle is CLEBCTC, at CLE, just like Cleveland, CLEBCTC. Mr. Wondolowski, you take care, be safe, and we'll be talking to you next month, okay?
Sounds good, Flash. Take care.
All right, Dave Wondolowski, Executive Secretary of the Cleveland Building and Construction Trades Council. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Tomorrow, more from the Green Party, this one out of California. We're going to talk to a candidate there, and the latest from the Cleveland Labor Citizen. Until then, all of you have a wonderful as well as safe day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.